Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the Searching the Scriptures class at 3:30 this afternoon to find the answer to the question, does God really hate the sin but love the sinner? There will be a youth camping trip next weekend to Groveland, which is near Yosemite. And if you can make it and you're interested, see Pastor Tomlinson for details. Also, we want to announce that there will be no Wednesday evening service. Normally takes place at 7:30 on Wednesday evenings due to many family type activities. I mean, we're a family here, of course, but we have blood relatives also sometimes that we get together for barbecues and so on. So there will be a cancellation of only one Wednesday, and that's this coming Wednesday, July 4th. The scripture reading for this month is Psalm, which is printed in your bulletin, is Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 27, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. Continue our worship with hymn number 532, God of Our Fathers. Number 531, America the Beautiful.
America. Father, as we ponder again on the celebration of America's birthday, we look upon history and we see brave men who put their life on the line and declare themselves free from tyranny in any form. We are grateful, Father, that many people are born in this country and many of us have come from another country to refuge ourselves under the beautiful flag and under the freedom of this country. We thank you, Father, that many of us have served under the duties of military call to defend the country. We were proud, not afraid. I remember the day that I signed to the admission of this country, that I will defend the country under all circumstances. And I did it with joy, because I knew that America belonged to you. Father, we experience in America a minority who makes a lot of noise and looks like a majority. But as I travel through America for 29 years, I see churches everywhere. The heart and the strength of America is not the dollar, is not the military who is powerful, but it's the churches. The people that have been influenced by the Spirit of God, convicted by the Scripture, to believe in a mighty God and to believe in a wonderful Savior. The Bible said that when we come to know God, we are free indeed. And that's the spirit of America. It was created by believers who were free from within. No wonder America becomes free from without. Father, we pray that this majority of ours who believe in you may stand and speak. May let the world know that we believe in you and we want an America free from socialism, free from domination, an America free to worship you, to love you, and to exercise compassion and generosity as we have done through the years. Make every pastor in America to feel the duty and responsibility to bring his people to love you and to love our country. Thank you, Father, for Bethel and for the people you have sent in our way who love you. We are made of diversity because we have nations from everywhere. But, Father, we are united in the love of God and in the love of this country. So today is a day of celebration. It's a day of meditation. It's a day of looking back into our life and see what we have done for our country as we are citizens of heaven and citizens of America. Oh, help us, oh God, to be men and women of integrity that represent the reality of Christianity and the reality of a country that need to stand again in the doctrines of the God of the Bible. America was not founded to believe in God, just God. America was founded to believe in the God of the Bible. And so, Father, help us to teach and to refresh our history from the Scripture and to be warned from the Scripture. What happened to Israel when they left you? Oh, God, have mercy on us and cause us to return to you. In the meantime, may this service be a service of worship to you, be a service of remembrance, be a service of encouragement. And at the end, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to remember again that our freedom was not free. came by the death and resurrection of our Savior. Bless your people everywhere. Bless the pastors across the country, that they may stand in the truth with integrity of heart. Thank you for the people at the fair. Thank you for those who listen over the internet, over the radio station KKNC at this very hour. Thank you for our great list of missionaries. Thank you, Father. We are doing all of this because your people love you and provide the offering for the ministry. So we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Psalms. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 652. We will be reading Psalm 33, verses 1 through 12. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 33, verses 1 through 12. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we will praise you and thank you always that you have called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know your word cannot fail, and we know that you have blessed us beyond measure, and you are our God. We know that your compassion is on those who fear you, and thank you for your grace and your mercy. The scriptures have declared those who believe and follow you are citizens of a holy nation, for which we praise and give glory to Christ alone. We pray for our country, the United States, which you have blessed. We pray that many will come to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and repent and turn to him in obedience. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to bless this country and not abandon it. We pray for your mercy. We pray now for your servant, our pastor and teacher, Gabriel Otero. Bless his teaching from the scriptures and bless us and all those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may understand how blessed we are that you have sent us our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
And I'm going to give a signal to the back so that I can take freely my microphone. Just before our celebration sermon, I want to let you know that tonight start a series of 10 sermons on biblical foundations series. And it's like tonight, the Bible. If somebody stop you in the street and say, you have a Bible? Yes. What is good for? What is in the Bible? Very basic. What about sin? What about salvation? So I want to put my overhead projector and be here and get the computer and have a really like a Sunday school class lesson where you can participate and ask questions after I give you the lesson. It's going to be recorded and it's going to be saved as foundational truth of our church. And I hope that if you cannot come, I think that it goes into the computer, right into the, so you can pull it from there or you can ask for a free CD and a free donation of $1,000. All right. Back into our sermon. You hear these words before. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. With those words, in July 4, 1776, the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence sealed their fate and began America's first grassroots fight for freedom. Make no mistake, although today's Americans may not be forced to live in fear of a crown to come, the threat of tyranny is ever present, and freedom is far from free. Our pledge to the flag said this: one nation under God. And that is the threat of tyranny from the devil that wants to take that word God out of the pledge. We need to fight for with everything we have. Why? Why America need to fight with everything they got against that idea of taking God out of our flesh? I want to show you why. We have a living example in one nation, the nation of Israel. They have, like King David said, blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah, the Lord. The threat of Satan today is not to take that word God out, but to take that word Lord out, because it's the word Jehovah. And under the idea that we are people from everywhere living in America, we like to worship God, whatever that God is, they said, but don't mention Jesus, that you worship Him, that Jehovah of the Old Testament. It's no new, Satan. It's no new. Happened in the nation of Israel. And I'm going to have a good 25 minutes Bible exercise, you and me, to look at the steps that happened to Israel, how they started, and how they moved, and how they fell, and how they were away from their nation. And may God forbid that that happened to us. Alright, you ready? Look on Israel. Number one, Israel is started by a family who believe in God, almost like America. Go back to your Bible on the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 12, please. Genesis chapter 12. And look on verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Israel, they were a family who believed in God. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham, verse 4, departed as Jehovah, the Lord, in capital letters, Jehovah had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Some people think and die in 75. And Abraham was moved to start another nation. Israel is started by a family who believe in God. And you know your American history. I was given 5 or 6 books on American history, and I read them. And each time I looked in the names of those people that came here, there was a root, there was a light, a respect. Some of them were not believers, but still they respect that God of the Bible. Israel, they were a family who was united. Look now, we're in Genesis 12. Move your Bible all the way to Genesis 50. All the way to Genesis 50. There was a family that was united. And I'm going to read for you verse 15 to 21 to show you. You know the story. They start in Genesis chapter 12. And even though there was a fight between the brethren, after all, there was one who was raised with good brains to unite them. And look at what happened at the end of that dramatic scenario of fighting between the brethren in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. The Bible says, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.'" You know, we have a conscience that never leaves you. Verse 16, "And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him." Verse 18. "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me." And now look at Joseph, verse 20. "But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not, said the scripture. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." Israel was united. They got a leader that feared God. That's what unites a country, my friend. And take it in consideration when you vote. A leader that fears God and respects God is a leader that will unite their country. That's exactly what happened to Israel. Now, the family, as we studied a few Sundays ago, grew up and multiplied. Move your Bible to the next page, Exodus chapter 1. We read this scripture a few Sundays ago, but it's good to review. Exodus chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. The family first was a family that believed God. Then the family needs some shaking so that they can be united in the presence of God. And now God, as to the family, was united in what they thought and in how to live together. Then they move on. Look at Exodus chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. "Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and was exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. And you know the history. The emperor of Egypt, the Pharaoh, was scared to death of these people. They were so smart. They were so united. They did things together. And these people who were there, the sons of Jacob died, but their inheritance, they were all together advancing. And you remember at the time when they had to move out of Egypt, there were close to 6 million people. What being united does, no? What being a leader who fears God does. Amazing. Now, the family believed in God. The Israel family was united. But the family grew and multiplied. And Israel was a family that will not surrender to a slavery. Will you move? You are in Exodus 1. Move a little forward to Exodus 12. And verse 31. There's a family that will not surrender to a slavery. Exodus 12 and verse 31. Pharaoh, you know the story at this time, that there were 10 plagues to test Pharaoh's power. I always remember the section in the Bible by chapter 6 or 7 of Exodus, where Pharaoh said, "And who is your God that I may obey him?" It's like some of our senators today. "And who is your God that I may obey him?" And now look at chapter 12. His son is dead. And so verse 31. "And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve Jehovah as he has said.'" Not amazing? The same man with the powers of an army, with the powers, Egypt, of a navy. The same man who said to Moses, "And who is your God that I may obey him?" Now he's bowed to his knees and he said, "Sir, get out of here. Your God is too powerful." Amazing. The nation of Israel, they were a family who believed in God. They were a family who was united, a family that grew up and multiplied, a family that will not surrender to a slavery, a family that became a nation. What does a nation need to be a nation? They need a constitution, is that right? Otherwise, you are not a nation, you're just people. But when you have a constitution that binds you together, then you become a nation. Move your Bible to Exodus 20. This is the constitution of Israel. And they were written in two parts of the Bible. They were written in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 12. You know them by the Ten Commandments. But this is the constitution of Israel. I start reading in the King James Version. If you have other versions, they have changed the verses. And if you have not a version from the Protestant Bible, the Roman Catholic has changed the arrangements of the verses at the beginning. So I'm reading from the King James Version, which is a copy of Tyndale's and those Bibles that were available from the original. Here it is. "And God spake all these words, saying, 'I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me.'" America, you got it? Verse 4. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the knee, under the earth." Is that clear? Verse 5. "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless for taking his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy works. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt not do any work, thou, or nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, or thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heavens and earth and sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gave thee. Thou shalt not murder. Excuse me, it's not kill, it's murder, it's the execution. Of Psalm 1 is the hypertense of the verb to kill, which is thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservants, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbors. Now, you got the idea? That's very clear. That is the constitution of Israel. That is the constitution of Israel. And what the devil wants to do, take that constitution out of our courts. It's just hanging on the wall, fellas. And they'll take it away. It's so powerful. Satan knows that these Ten Commandments are so powerful, they fire a judge for having behind him the Ten Commandments. Well, I have you for Satan, as you walk in the House of Justice, the Ten Commandments are right there in the front door. As you walk in the second door, the Ten Commandments are in the second door. As you sit in the bench, the Ten Commandments are made on the walls in the back. See, that was the root of Israel and the root of America. A family that became a nation. A nation fastened to its constitution. There was not just a constitution. How many of you carry the constitution in your pocket? You should carry the constitution in your pocket so that you know your rights. And you know where to go and not to go. Alright? That's very, very important. Very, very important. Now, this nation obeyed the Constitution. Let's go to a few books ahead, the book of Deuteronomy. You're in Exodus, you go to Leviticus, number Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 22 to 25. Look at how they believe in this Constitution. Deuteronomy is a book that was given the name Deuteronomy because Theo means two in Greek, Nomos means law. So the name Deuteronomy means against the second time the law. I'm reading from verse 22 in chapter 11. For ye shall diligently keep all these commandments. These are the farewell message of this Prince Justice Moses. Ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. Do you see the responsibility that we have? Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. See, again, The secret of Israel do not depend on the skills of those men, even though they were very skilled, depends on their faithfulness to their God and to their constitution. Verse 23. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, and he said, as he has said unto you. They were fasting to the constitution. Amazing. Israel was a nation that achieved invisibility and greatness. They obeyed the Lord. Would the Lord give the land? Yes, he did. Move your Bible to the book of Joshua, chapter 21. You are in learning. Next book is Joshua. Move the Bible to chapter 21, verse 43. Would the Lord fulfill his promise? If you are faithful to this constitution, I will give you mighty power and you will conquer all this land. Did the Lord accomplish that? Yes, he did. Look at in Joshua 21, verse 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers. I want to pay attention to you, to the Lord, to the word gave. It's no longer future, it is past. Alright? Past. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possess it, and dwell therein. Verse 44. And the Lord gave them rest upon round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood no man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not out of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Woo! It's not that heavy. Whatever the Lord said came to pass. The nation of Israel was powerful, dominating the east. Why? Because the Lord has said so. Not because of their might, not because of their talent. They were skilled people. They were genius people and military achievement. David was one of them. Joshua was one of them. But the key is this. The Lord say it, and the Lord fulfilled it. Now, we took Israel from a little family, Abraham, Mama Sarah, who was Miss Universe, and you remember the story that the kings won his wife because she was Miss Universe, and from a tiny little family, Lot, the disobedient businessman, he was an accountant, he was a businessman, no offense to accountants, all right. He knew how to manage their cities, all right? Remember, he was the accountant of the city. So from this little family, God takes his little family and now dominates the east. Is in their hands because God says so. Now you think, a nation like that should be fantastic. Everything goes well. What happened then? Was a nation of invisibility, you cannot touch them. Now, what really happened to these people? Let me show you what happened. Go to Judges, you are in Joshua. Go to Judges 21:25. Just a few years after they were really comfortable, after they owned the marketplace of Lebanon on trees, after they own the jewelries that they find on the desert, after God gave them possession of land with oil, in Syria. After God gave all of these, Damascus was part of them. Look at what happened to these people. 50 years later. Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, I do not have the time to read for you in the scripture what happened, but I tell you what happened. After God gave all the land, there was no king in Israel. But you know what happened? They said to God, "Oh, all the nations of the world, they have kings. We want a king." And God said, "Is not me sufficient to you? I'm your king. Is not sufficient?" He said, "No, no, no. Look at Egypt. They have an emperor. Look at Greece. And look at Iran. They all have these majesties and kings. And we like somebody like that." And they transfer the power from the government of God to the government of men. And they fail. One of the greatest accusations to our president is that he believed what he prays. When the president prays, he believed what he prays. It's not that ridiculous. The men with master's degrees in journalism will criticize our president because he believed what he prayed. But it's no news. So Israel, powerful like America was, dominating the entire world. If you want to do business, you go to Israel, to Kaifa. And what happened to these people? We want to be like the world. You allow a little bit of the world in your home and you will see what happens. We want to be like the world. We want to have the prestige of the world. We need to have the robes of the world. We need to be an image of the world. And God allowed them to do it. And now there was such a chaos that there was no king in the White House. And everybody did what was right in their own hand. Now, so much for Israel. From the very beginning to the very end, the beginning was simple. A family. Papa wants to follow God. Mama said, "Whatever you said, Papa, I do." Sarah is called the queen in the Bible because she did exactly what Papa said. Sometimes Papa asked her to sin and she did it. By denying that she was his wife. Israel started beautiful, became glorious, untouched by any man because God was it. No any God, not the God of the Arabs, not the God of the Hindu, the God of the Bible, Jehovah, was there. And no one matched Jehovah. No one matched Jehovah. What happened? Let me tell you what happened. Three things they did wrong. Three things. They put God out of their mind. Go to Judges chapter 3, verse 7. How a nation that was so powerful, what they have done. Number one, they put God out of their mind. Judges 3, 7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam. And look at what the scripture says, the groves, the little images. They tolerate other gods in their life. They put God out of their mind. God out of their mind. Number two, because they put God out of their will. Judges chapter 2, verse 17. Look at what the Bible says. Judges chapter 2, verse 17. They put God out of their will. They will not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obey the commandments of the Lord, but they did no so. They put God out of their will. And number three, they put God out of their reason. Judges chapter 3 and verse 15. God out of their reason. Judges 3:15. When the children of Israel cry unto the Lord raised them up and deliver. Ehud, the son of Jirah, the Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. Chapter 4, verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Do you see? In Judges 3:15, the people, God raised a leader. And when that leader is dead, then they evil. They want to do what was right in their own eyes. It's exactly as you hear the debates for presidents today. Except one or two men, the others, they want to do what they think, with all honesty, will be good for America. But with all honesty, will sink America forever. So, after thousands of years of falls and starts in Europe and in the East, if you know world history, take thousands of years of people who want to do right. After forbidden fruit, after wrong turns, after tyranny and license, man finally made a true beginning in human government. No more graven images. No more state shepherds. No more kings and empires and emperors. No more unrestrained authority or state religion or mob rule. No more tyranny. Ladies and gentlemen, God gave us 231 years ago the great American Republic. It is a union without uniformity. It is a constitutional republic in which the powers to govern was derived from God. And therefore, a check and balances devices were designed to stop any tyranny, any distrust. It was no easy task to get those early Americans, those individualists, as you study history, everyone was an individualist, to agree on government, each in his own way, and his own freedom, worship God, Jehovah. They were not about to submit to another king. They were not about to submit to another king or man or mob. So they gave us four fences, I call, so that it could not get out of hand or out of bounds. Here are the four fences of the American government. The legislative power, the judicial, the individual. Each was to be a check balance of the other. And the final fence, the individual, was the greatest check of all, and that's what they want us to lose. After God, the individual came first. Only by His consent could government govern. Only because you allow in America, government can govern. And then only to protect his life, liberty, and prosperity, not just his, but all men equally. Government are not for social working. Government is to protect your life so that you protect your social life. So the founder fathers create a republic where God was honored and worshipped. Not collectivism, not a democracy, a great republic. A government of law, not of men. Where the rights of the minority were protected. Where the rights of the majority were upheld but not permitted to be disrupted. Where the process of change were provided for but in a manner that prevented capricious acts and wanton revision. Ladies and gentlemen, God gave us America. So I have to say, look up to God, the God of the Bible, and America will live. I say it again. Look up to God, the God of the Bible, and America will live. Deny the God of the Bible, and America will perish, vanish away, and will be like a history like Israel. Beloved people of the Tell and friends, you are the nation. You are America. So let me ask you, beloved, is Jehovah your God? Is Jehovah your God? If not, you will lose yourself in hell one day, and you will lose this nation that you love so much. May God bless America with a repentant heart. May the people of America return to God and ask for mercy to revive their heart in such a way that they too may come to life and be able to say, oh, there is a God. There is a God. And I must fear Him. It's not only to worship God here and praise His name and listen to His word. It's to fear God and respect God that makes America great and that will make your life as great as can be. When I came to this country, some people said, are you afraid? It was 1965. You are alone with your wife, 29 years old, good looking boy, and a 2 years old daughter. Alone. But I was not afraid because I lived more than 10 years with American missionaries. And I saw their life. And I said, if America is like these people, America must be heaven. Quickly I learned there was no heaven. I went to play a basketball game and I lost my suit. Somebody stole it. I went to another place, I lost my shoes. I learned that America is just like people. People. But I learned, as I studied history deeply, that America was not so. So I took the time to go to the states that were founded and go into their libraries. And surprise, surprise, in Delaware, I found a document that said, unless you love the Lord Jesus as your Savior and respect Him, you cannot be mayor of this city. In the law of the United States of America. And they were written in English and in Spanish in Delaware. And most of the Constitution was in Spanish, as I see it. And I asked the people around, what really happened to this country? Have you ever read this? Oh yeah, that's history. May not be history for us. May we pray. That's what we need to pray as a body. Pray the America return to Jehovah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this country. Thank you, Father, for what you have done. And now, Father, we pray for mercy that you will not leave us alone. That you will give us leaders who fear you and love you. Looks impossible. As we look into the candidates to come in, looks that we're losing the territory, but we know the people of God pray. You answer. Lord, we repent before you and help us to walk in the fear of the Almighty God so that you can bless us again. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Stands a lady with a torch raised to the sky, and all who see her know she stands for liberty for you and me. I'm so proud to be called an American, to be named with the brave and the free. I will honor our flag and our trust in God and the statue of liberty. On lonely Golgotha stood a cross with my Lord raised to the sky, and all who kneel there live forever, as all the saints can testify. I'm so glad to be called a Christian, to be named with the ransomed and whole, as a statue liberates the citizen, so the cross it liberates the soul. Oh, the cross is my statue of liberty. It was there that my soul was set free. Unashamed, I'll proclaim that a rugged cross is my statue of liberty.
A thankful heart. First, because we believe in you. And second, because you have given us this beautiful nation. We humble before you. We repent. And we pray that we begin today to be more faithful to you, so that this nation may see the light of God again. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.